Be to God. Good morning, everybody. Do okay with daylight savings time there? Anybody get up and realize they had an extra hour? There is this great thing that went around Facebook about being to church early. It was this picture of this man screaming in agony and said, "Beware of daylight savings time, or else you'll get to church before anyone else does." Oh no. So, I always think about something in particular for daylight savings time, at least the daylight savings time in the fall. I had a job, my first job out of college. It was for a big consulting company that shall remain nameless, and I was pretty excited to have it. This was back in, 1999, and I graduated from college and, of course, knew a lot about computers. I sort of did a lot of that in college, and at that time, if you could just say the word computer, you could get a job in the IT industry. And so I think I slept on my best friend Jesse's couch for about 2 weeks while I looked for a job. I got to name my salary. I just said, "I will not work for less than this." And they said, "Okay, well, we'll give it to you." Even though I was making almost twice as much as other people that I was working for. It was illegal by, well, not illegal, but it was against company policy to let anyone else know what your salary was. And if you did, you'd get fired. And, of course, the reason they did that is because there was such a disparity in salary ranges that they didn't want people to feel bad about the exact same people doing the exact same job getting paid half or twice as much. So here I was at this company. I was kind of excited. You know, it was my first job, my real job. And I don't know. It just ended up not being so great. We were given random schedules, you know, first, second, or third shift. It was a help desk. And, you know, every month you'd get a different schedule. So you might go from third shift to first shift, to second shift, back and forth. And I remember my first time at third shift, one of my first evenings there, you know, was when daylight savings time happened in October, I think. And I had the third shift. Well, of course, you know, third shift for daylight savings time. That means that when it was 2 o'clock, it was then 1 o'clock again. And I actually ended up working 9 hours instead of 8 hours. And I said to my boss, I said, "You know, I'm going to be here an extra hour. Any way I could just, you know, maybe leave a little early or something?" No. You just have to work that extra hour. There's other fun things there. I mean, they had ant problems in the building, so they sent around this email that said, "We are having problems with ants in the building. If this problem does not go away, we're going to forbid any of our employees from having, you know, drinks or food at their desk other than water." You know, of course, my thought was, maybe you should call an exterminator if you're having problems with ants. But they boarded up all the windows because they were afraid of corporate spies. I think really they just didn't want people to look outside and possibly get distracted by nature. It was really not so great a place to work. I was the only one there with a college degree other than my manager. And when I said I was a little bit bored with this and I might like to stay with the company, but, you know, is there someplace else I could transfer? I'd even be willing to take the same amount of pay. They said, "Well, if you work here 4 or 5 years, then we can talk about transfer." So I lasted at that job 3 months. And, you know, I was kind of like Ruth following Naomi, sort of, in a good way, in that I had my best friend Jesse, whose couch I had slept on, and he had a job working for North Carolina State University. And he got me on the fast road there for an opening and helped me out with the interviewing process. And I got that job. And let me tell you, that was a great job in comparison. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever worked for a university, but the standards of work for university versus the private sector are not quite so high in that, you know, they're not watching over your shoulder and everything like that. I mean, I like to think I got a lot of good work done, but let me just tell you how the day would start. So I'd roll in there, you know, probably about 10 minutes late. And then, of course, you know, we had to do what we did every morning, which was everybody in the department, we'd go on down to the campus Chick-fil-A and get breakfast. You know, I mean, that's a good way to start your work day. So we would sit and have Chick-fil-A and chat with each other. I mean, I think we actually did talk about some work stuff, so it wasn't so bad. And then you'd get back to the office. And, of course, you know, people just kind of took usually hour and a half breaks for lunch. It wasn't so bad. And then, you know, we'd go back and do a little bit more work. And you got to have access to all this gym membership and this and that. And, you know, got good vacation. I think during the summer, we only worked till noon on Fridays. Boy, it was a great job. But, you know, my friend Jesse, he wanted some more money, you know, better position. So he went to go work for this startup. And, you know, me, like following Naomi, I guess, you know, I went to go follow him. Where he went, I went. And so I was like, well, I'll go work for this startup too. And I did. I did make a lot more money. But I tell you, there was no Chick-fil-A breakfasts. There was no hour and a half lunches. There was, you know, you get to work at 8, and we'd usually leave around 8, 6 days a week. And it was a lot of work, and there was a very passionate, sometimes very angry billionaire CEO that we worked for that usually scared me quite a lot. I almost cried a couple of times. And, you know, so when you think about the story of Ruth, and you think about Ruth following Naomi into, you know, sort of a good place in Moab where there was a lot of food, and then following her into God knows what, where there's a lot of hardship, I kind of got that from following Jesse around. And, you know, to top everything off, that great startup that I went to go work for, within 7 months, it had gone out of business, and I had lost my job. And, of course, this was right after the economic downturn that we had at the beginning of the 2000s. And so you couldn't just get a job by saying computer anymore after that. It was a time of difficulty for me. To make matters worse, I had lined up to move to New York City, and about a day before I was going to go to New York, it was September 11th. And so here I was, and I didn't know what to do, and I went there anyway, and I did find a job, and that was that. Now, you know, it's an interesting thing, all these journeys that we have in our lives, and these journeys go different places. Sometimes we follow people. Sometimes we follow friends, or we follow people that we're dating, or spouses. Sometimes we follow an industry. We go from place to place. Rarely, no matter what we do, do we ever stay in one place for our entire lives. We usually, either physically or in jobs or in some state of our life, be it single or being married, we usually transition from one place to another. And we see a lot of transition in the story of Ruth. Here we have Ruth who has gone, who was from Moab, and Naomi has come there, and things are pretty well there in Moab, but the man that Ruth married died. In fact, both of Naomi's sons died. And you should know this because I forget exactly what they mean, but in Hebrew, the sons' names basically mean something like despair and sadness. So, you know, when you have names like that, you know the story's not going to go very well. Ruth's name means beloved, and the sister-in-law, the other Moab woman that had married one of Naomi's sons, Orpah, her name actually means like the back of the neck. And so you have these two names that sort of mean completely different things. And the reason that, of course, back of the neck makes sense is because that's what you saw of Orpah when she left and went back to her homeland when Naomi had said, you could go back home. And that probably was the smart thing to do, because you got to understand the situation that these ladies were in, Ruth and Orpah. They were Moabites, so they were not Jewish. And they had family there, they had mothers, they probably had uncles, they probably had other people that they knew. They were young, they didn't have children, so they could probably get married again. So the smart thing to do would have been for them to go back home. And Naomi realized this, and that's why Naomi was trying to be nice and trying to send Ruth back home. Because Naomi didn't have anybody. She didn't have anything. She basically was going to go back and be homeless in Israel. And it was going to be hard enough to care for herself, let alone try to provide for these women. And because they were Moabite, the chances of them finding a husband in Israel was not as good. And so here we have this situation where the thing that makes sense is to go back to the comfort that you know. But Ruth, because of her faith, because of her love for Naomi, stays part of this new family, goes to this new land, meets a nice guy named Boaz, that's later on in the story, gets married, things end up going well for her, but it did not appear to begin with that they would be good. And so here she is. She comes to this new land, she struggles, and eventually she marries, and eventually she becomes part of the ancestry of two famous people. Does anybody know who those two famous people are? What's that? David's one of them. And the other one is, most popular answer for children's moment, Jesus, that's right. So she becomes part of the ancestry of David and therefore part of the ancestry of Jesus as well. So she comes someplace and she would have no idea that she would become someone so important, and yet she did. You know, I really think that this happens a lot in our lives. Sometimes we go places and they're very difficult and we don't understand what good can come of it, and yet something good does happen. Or we struggle through periods in our lives, and nothing good happens during those periods, but that later on something good does happen. And that thing probably wouldn't have happened had we not struggled in the beginning. I think about myself. Had I not lost my job, had I not been in New York City when all of that tragedy happened, had I not gone that path, then I probably wouldn't be here. I probably wouldn't have met Amelia, my wife. And I'd probably be in a very different place. And I don't know, maybe it'd be a good thing, but I kind of like where I am now quite a bit. And so even though there were those difficulties, even though there was a difficulty like my father passing away, those things created the person that I am. And I like where I am. And therefore, it is part of me, even if it is difficult. And I think that's part of faith. Faith requires us to look for something better, for something that is God-like in our lives, even when it's not so obvious, even when it's difficult. It's why faith is a hard thing. If everything was, you know, just roses and peaches all the time, and everything was great, and anything we ever asked for was given to us immediately, it wouldn't take much faith to have that. It would just be right there in front of us. But our relationship with the divine is not quite so easy. There are times when we wonder. There are times when we think about, do we really have to go through this, Lord? And when we hit those times, it's important that we have faith to see that thing that's not there. Now, what I will say is that I think that it is wonderful that we have the pairing of the Mark text, which I haven't talked about. And the Mark text is one that we're very familiar with, the greatest commandment. This person comes up and asks Jesus about what is the most important commandment, and Jesus responds, of course, quoting the Old Testament, that it is about loving God and loving your neighbor. That those two things are the most important things. And this guy that asked the question is pretty smart, because he replies to Jesus, you're right, those are the most important things. In fact, they're more important even than giving offerings on the altar. They are the most important things that we can focus on. And so when I think about all the times in my life that I've had plenty or that I've had not so much plenty, when I think about the times in my life that have been challenging and difficult, I can look back and I can think about what was truly important is the love that I had with the people that I shared it with. Even when I was working all those hours and lost my job, there was my best friend Jesse, who I love dearly. And that's the thing that I think most about, which sticks most in my mind. Even though there was all the tragedy around me in New York, I think most about the love that I saw between the people. One thing I'll never forget is when that happened, there were all these signs up where people were looking for people that were lost. And I looked out the window and I saw the garbage truck people pulling it off. And I thought, man, how harsh that is. You know, why don't they just leave the signs up for a little while? But I discovered later that they needed to clean stuff up. And what they did is they took down each one of those signs carefully, set them aside, cleaned, and then put every single one of them back up. That's something that's done out of love. And when we look at the disaster that we've had this past week with Sandy, when we look at the things that really have an impression on us, that really matter, it's the examples of love that we see. Love between strangers. I don't know how many of you saw that thing, the picture where the extension cords were taken out onto the balcony and the little sign said, we've got electricity, feel free to plug your phone in and charge it up. Such a simple thing, but nonetheless an act of love. And therefore it's one of the images I remember the most. And so this love is so important. Regardless of where we are on the journey, regardless of what we go through, love is what truly is meaningful. And I think it's what helps our faith as well. And this guy knew it and recognized it when Jesus said so. And so one of the more interesting lines about this passage comes next. Jesus says to the man, he says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now the kingdom of God is a confusing thing sometimes. We think of it, maybe it's a place, maybe like it's like heaven that's going to be there when after we pass away. Or maybe it's something like the reign of Jesus when Jesus comes back. Or maybe it's some political thing. We don't know. But Jesus talks about it in all sorts of different ways. And one of the ways that it's talked about is that the kingdom of God is here and yet not here. Which makes me think that perhaps it's better described as a state of mind. Perhaps the kingdom of God is all around us. And it's just a matter of us being in the right place, of us recognizing what's truly important in our lives for us to be able to approach that kingdom of God. Maybe every time in our life when we faced a difficulty, a challenge, a struggle, maybe we were already at the kingdom of God and yet we just couldn't see it. This Sunday, we're celebrating All Saints Sunday. All Saints Day was, of course, on November 1st. November 2nd is All Souls Day. And one of the things that we try to do when we celebrate All Saints is we remember all those people that have gone before us, who have passed away. And we remember them on this day, and we remember that they are forever with us. And I like to think that they are at the kingdom of God. And so they are here with us. All we have to do is be in the right state of mind to recognize that love is more powerful even than death. And if we can truly see that, then I bet that we can see them still in our lives. So whatever journey you're on, wherever you're going, whether or not you're at a good place in your life or a not so good place in your life, remember that God is always with you on that journey, just like God was with Ruth. And remember that the most important part of our journeys together is the love that we share with each other and the love that we receive from God. Know these things, and you will never be far from the kingdom of God. Amen.